So today we're going to do a couple things. We have a video we're about to play. Two things we're going to do. I don't know about you, when I went to college, there were different types of classes, and one of the things that kind of happened in college was where it was like, it was my favorite part of ministry because the majority of my classes had nothing to do with anything practical. You had a lot of people who had never done ministry telling you how to do ministry, but they'd never done it. They don't know. Nobody can prepare you for all the politics and craziness, and there was no practicality to it, but there were some times in classes, my favorite professors would send you to a church or send you to this and experience it practically, and I was like, that was the most best part of doing it. And so today, when I envision this, again, there's two services that are going to be uniquely different so far, at least. They may grow. I mean, we have Easter, but when I came here, two things. I wanted to talk about vision every year. Vision. I want to have a vision. Here's where we're going. Let's see what happens. Boom. And then secondly, I wanted to have one service where we dedicate our hearts and our minds to just being thankful, looking at the year before us and being thankful. And I've genuinely learned in my life that thankfulness and contentment is one of those things that you will never get there until you start practically doing it and applying it in your life and making it a daily ritual of saying, God, there are some bad, there are some negative, some things that I can't control, but Lord, there's some good. There's some graces day by day, and I trust your sovereignty, and I trust your grace that there are graces coming so I can endure all things because I know you're good. I've seen you in my life. I see where you're coming. I know you're going to be there for me. You may not give me everything I want, but you'll get me through because, listen, you're enough. That's who our God is. Paul says this. I'm really not meaning to go to the text. We're going to go back to the text. I'm not going to preach yet. I'm going to do some other things first. But one verse I want to read real quick, and we're going to clarify this week. It's Philippians 4:19. We're going to look through 11 through 13. We're going to look through Philippians 4:4 and Philippians 4:13, Philippians 4:19. Because I wasn't sure where we're going, you don't have sermon notes, because I didn't 100% know where we're going, and I didn't know how long today would take. There's so many things. I got notes. I can email them to you, but I didn't print them in case we went a different direction today. But look what it says. It says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And then Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, don't get too excited. We're going to go back to the sermon in a second. I'm going to move away and then come back to it. It says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I've always heard this in connection to sports or training or things like that. Let me tell you what he means by all things. This is Paul. He got converted. How many of you coming forward to get converted when God says, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake? Come to Jesus. That's what happened to Paul. God said, right when he got converted, you are going to suffer. When Paul says all things, he does not mean I can do anything training. He means I can endure beatings. I can endure shipwreck. I can endure imprisonments. I can endure lashes. I can endure my mental condition. I can, whatever the thorn that God gave him, and he literally cried out three times. I don't know about you. I'd have kept crying. Lord, take it away. Lord, he only did it three times. I don't know why Paul stopped. I guess he knows God's stubborn and he's not going to win. He gave up. But God gives him an affliction. Listen, so that he would learn what it means that you need me. Whatever you're suffering, whatever you're going through, you need me more than you need relief from your suffering. You need me. I will make you weak. And listen to what Paul says. And I will show you how to be strong in your weakness when you realize you can't control anything. I'm in control. When we're weak, God says, that's when you're strong. He will drive you to your knees. Paul says, all things. Some of you right now are going through all things. All things. Can you rejoice? Paul says you can. You can be content. Paul says, I've gone through all sorts of things. I've abounded and I've been brought low. He says you can do all things. We're going to talk about that in our sermon today. But what I want to do today, specifically focus on contentment and thankfulness as a practical thing, I want to talk about our church in this year and how God has done some incredible things. Incredible things this year. God has used this church. God has used you. You've served. You've been part of it. And I want to thank you. And I want to be thankful for our church and how God's used us. With that said, Patty takes some awesome pictures. I grabbed some pictures, as many as I could, to highlight as many ministries as I possibly could. I tried to find the ones that had 6 people or 10 people or 100 people. As many people is what I was going after. Here's a video real quick. And then we're just going to highlight some things from specific ministries and ministers that have told me some things they want me to communicate to you. And in terms of what we're thankful for this year as a church. So here you go. Here comes the video.
For you today, and this is one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've given to me, for all the blessings that I cannot see. Stretched arm, I bless your name and thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. In my life, you took my darkness and gave me your light. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You took my sin and my shame. You took my sickness and healed all my pain. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I'll bless your name and thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Listen, we couldn't get everyone's picture. Chris, we even got you walking like this. You know, we did our best. We did as many pictures as we could. But obviously, there's a million pictures we could have used with many more people. But whatever. Here, we're here to be thankful. So here's what I want to do. Before we go into a sermon, I'm going to like have two completely. I just like started all preachy, then I'm going to like go away, and then I'm going to go back to preachy. I want to just talk about specifically. I asked my staff, at least, in their areas of ministries, just tell me, what are you thankful for? And I asked them to kind of give me a couple things specifically. And a couple of them gave me like a statement and then some things. And I got some folks that are in ministry that I could get a hold of that told me some of the areas that they're thankful for. So I just want to highlight some things from this year. So give me about 10 minutes. All right, here we go. Xavier, we call him X. So you can call him X because I call him X. I'm his boss. You can call him X. Xavier, here we go. Says, I am thankful first for the opportunity to pour into the next generation of youth. Here at Bayshore Baptist Church, it is something that God has called me to do and which I am not taking lightly. I am also thankful for the opportunity of serving alongside a wonderful group of people in a city I had the privilege of growing up in. I am thankful for my first 2 months and many more to come. Our youth ministry has a fantastic group of adults who genuinely love these students and desire to see them flourish in their passions for Jesus. This year, two of our students responded to foreign missions during youth camp. Our youth group has seen substantial growth within the past year from new students from around our community coming in, and also the addition of Youth Reach Boys, a boys' home, giving a fresh chance at youth at risk youth. And so he's just there's a lot going on. There's a lot of ministry. I don't know if you've seen, but we have probably more students than we have adults on Wednesday night. It's grown a lot, and that's an awesome thing. And Xavier, I'll say this: I pursued him for a year, so you know I just kept knocking, and he finally came. So woohoo! We're excited to hear, man. We are. We're thankful for you. We are so blessed, and he says many more to come. I'm excited to hear that too. So here we go, children's ministry. We have reached many new kids for Christ this year during our children's ministry. We have a wonderful group of teachers who volunteer their time each week to disciple and minister to our kids and their families. We have seen kids grow from brand new Christians to mature believers with a servant's heart and a desire to minister to others. We have been blessed to have many new families join our church, and we strive and will continue to strive here at Bayshore to be a safe and wonderful place for your children and truly learn to wholeheartedly follow God. So Vacation Bible School, we had right around 200 kids. Unless we had 103 workers. We had 31 decisions this year, VBS. 31 kids gave their life to Jesus. I had a couple pictures I got to scan through, and I saw our adults, some of our servants, getting that down with kids and leading them to Jesus. It's fantastic. Preteen camp, 31 attended, 10 decisions. That means one third came to the Lord, gave their life to Christ. Day camp, 27 workers. Listen to this, 132 kids showed up in our community to be part of day camp. We had Sunday school, an average of right around 47 to 50 kids. Consistently, we have 16 teachers, and that's been growing. And we have teen kids, another great year of training disciples and service. And we can look at church-wide events because that's what Vicki helps us with. Easter extravaganza, we had over 400 people come. We had trunk or treat, we had over 400 people attend. And snack, we had consistently around 100 that showed up every night in the summer when we do food and fellowship. And so with all that said, I don't know if you saw one of our pictures. I had a section of just staff pictures. We had a picture of Vicki. Do y'all know she's the longest tenured minister to ever be at this church? As of this last one, we shared that cake. We've had a secretary longer, but we've never had anybody in ministry as long as Vicki, and so she deserves lots of gratitude and thankfulness from us, because I think a lot of people have said, we know a lot of things run around here because Vicki. She's children's minister slash many other things. So please tell her thank you too. BLC, this came from Jamie, a successful harvest market and car show. Minimal damage from Harvey and getting to help support our families who lost all and most of their possessions. God gave us an amazing grant that we didn't even know we would get. God gave us a good amount of funding, just gave it to us, put it in our hands, and that's a great thing. And so she didn't say that, I said that. Okay, number three. Thankful for the families that have entrusted us with the care of their children and for a staff who truly love the children that they work with. And so thank you, Jamie. We love you. We are so excited. I love seeing your husband here. Y'all don't even know this. I'll just say this to her. She is up here every Wednesday night. Guess who's watching children while the adults are in there learning the Bible? These guys, both of them, as a team, as a family, husband and wife, just like I love seeing Abby and Trevor up here worshiping as a team, as a family. It's an incredible thing. So, Pastor, what would I say? I'll tell you this. I'm not going to read my statement, but I want to say this. What I love about Bayshore, we are at that stage. I grew up at Sagemont, and one of the things John Morgan, my mentor, said to me, the hardest time for a church and growing is that 200 period, somewhere between 150 and 300, because you don't have enough staff, which means a lot of people have to do a lot of work, a lot of jobs. It becomes one of the most taxing portions in church growth because you don't have enough staff to do things, but there's a lot that has to be done. You're so big that there's so much to do. And let me tell you something. Y'all don't realize this, but one of the reasons our deacons are deacons is those men serve in like 15. I mean, I joke around, but it's serious when I say to some of these guys, this is your part-time job that you don't get paid for. In fact, you give to us. That's true. And so we have incredible servants as deacons. We have incredible people as a church. I mean, you guys serve in so many capacities, from Sunday school, from teaching, to coming to men's ministry, cooking. Like, you guys are constantly serving. I get exhausted seeing how much service that has to be done, but you guys never complain. Let me tell you, I've been around a lot of church where there's a lot of belly aching, and I see the servants, those who have the heart, genuine hearts, they're just constantly here serving. They never ask for anything. They just love. We have a very servant-oriented church. We have a very servant-oriented staff, very servant-oriented deacon body, and we have a very servant-oriented church. So you clap for yourself. Really. Why would you clap for yourself? That's crazy. You know, talk on pride next week. I'm just playing. But sincerely, that's what I love about Bayshore. We have very servant-oriented people. We're very blue-collar, laid-back folk. But more than anything, we serve. We serve. We serve with a joy, with a smile. And I know many of you know that. You've seen it. You've experienced it. And it's an incredible thing. And I love that about our church. And we've already clapped for my staff. But I would say, I would genuinely say that I've never worked with a more unified staff. I mean, just this past Wednesday, we went out to eat as a staff. We all, you know, we paid for our own meals and whatnot. But we just love being with each other. We go out to eat. We spend time together. All of us. We spend time. We love each other. We are friends. It's pretty much like family. And so I would say that to you is I think our staff deserves just an official clap thanking them for all that they do. You come to any event that we're doing, you're going to see a youth ministry, you're going to see a children's ministry, you're going to see a music ministry, you're going to see the pastor. We're all serving. You're going to see Lori there. We're all there. You're going to see our BLC director serving at an event that has nothing to do with our specific ministry. Most churches, it's kind of like, I have this department, you do your own thing. That's just not how we function. We're just always doing things together. It's an incredible thing. So they deserve lots of thankfulness. Men's ministry, since our fish fry where we were relaunching, we've grown substantially. We have half as many more people. We're about to get into smaller pockets of guys. We're going to be really getting more intimate and more prayer-oriented. And so there's a lot of good things happening there. Women's ministry, Terry, I got to find it. Here we go, from Terry. Women's ministry is not a noun, it's a verb. I'm glad she kept writing because I'm not smart enough for this. It's a verb, thankful for. Thankful for what God has done, is doing, and will do. The lives of women through women's ministry at Bayshore. She loves the fact that the women don't just come to a ministry, they minister. They minister to each other. They minister to people. They do. Our women's ministry is just active, and they love each other, and they serve one another. And we had a great event, just the Ordnance Exchange. We're about to have a woman's retreat, first time in a long time as a church, a woman's retreat. I'm just telling you now, come on and be part of that woman's retreat. It's a lot of people are going to be coming to that, older and younger. And it's an awesome thing that they're doing in men's ministry soon. Probably needs to start thinking about that as well. But our women are doing a woman's retreat. So I encourage you, there's a lot of growth there. Silver Saints, our Silver Saints ministry has an abundance of fun, food, and successful fellowships, such as some outings. They visit the Lone Star Flight Museum and the IMAX at Moody Gardens right here in Galveston, to going all the way out to Burton, Texas to visit the Cotton Gin Museum this year. That's coming, as well as monthly game nights. They're going to Star Museum here in Galveston this coming Tuesday. Lots of fellowship, lots of events. And final, I'm just going to finalize this and get into a sermon. You're like, why does he keep doing this? We have Food Pantry. We got to experience the breadth of, I'm using the word wrong, breadth of the ministry during Hurricane Harvey. We got to serve so many people. I mean, we had so many volunteers, so many people that we helped. I can't even give you the numbers. There were so many people in that food pantry. Listen, it happens monthly, twice a month, and we feed over 300 people, usually somewhere around 300 people, either individuals or families. That's happening monthly. And so we have an incredible ministry through our food pantry. And I love that I get to work with, I meet with once a month all the pastors, and we have different things we work with. And we saw the unity at Harvey, because what happened is every pastor said, well, we could specialize at this. We took food. They took the shelter. They took this. We just evened it out. Like, if someone needs something, go there. Go there. And all our churches were working in conjunction with each other. That's an incredible thing, because that's because we meet once a month and we talk about what ministries are you doing, what ministries are you doing. We try to inspire one another with ministries happening. So I could go on all sorts of things, from mentoring program that has opened up with Cindy Martin getting us in and Jeff and me and Xavier are getting a mentor. I could specifically talk about the summer program, reading program that we launched this summer, that we kind of had to go back with Cindy. We're going to revamp it and relaunch it this coming summer. There's so many ministries that are going out of here. There's Christmas ministries that are coming where we're trying to serve the community. We're in cahoots with the school in such a way that we're going to be this coming Christmas specifically giving gifts to the most needy people in our community. We're working with the school system, who knows who in our community have the biggest needs, and we're going to work with them to bless them. And so with that said, I talked really fast. There's a lot I could say, but I hope you saw from that video, there's just a lot of ministry happening. There's a lot of good. There's a lot of things happening. With that said, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to go into a time of talking specifically about contentment. But as a church, I was trying to say all those things because I think as a staff, we are really content. In fact, this week, we're sitting, we do this every week in staff meeting. We talk about what we're thankful for. I loved hearing Xavier. One of the things Xavier said is he said, I'm thankful for the mentoring program. He's like, what do you mean? And he said, well, within 1 week, like, we've only been doing it for about 2 to 3 weeks. And within 1 week, these kids are changing their attitudes, the behaviors, the teachers are noticing. He's like, I'm just grateful. I get an opportunity to pour into these kids, and God's doing something. And that was an amazing thing. Like, that guy, that's what he's thankful for, getting to do ministry. That's an incredible thing. So with that said, let me pray, and we'll get into the sermon mode. So I'm going to do that third shift, right back into sermon mode. All right, let me pray. God, I just want to say thank you, Lord. We got people up right now serving God in the gym. We got people that have been up here since 7 in the morning cooking turkeys for us. God, there's so many things to be thankful for. And God, I pray that as we go into this sermon, that we would be inspired no matter what our situation is, no matter what all things might be mentioned among our things. God, let us be grateful. Let us be thankful. And God, today is a time and an opportunity for us just to say how thankful we are for all that you've done. As a church, as a staff, as people in our lives, God, there are so much things that you are doing. Let us be grateful for today. In your name we pray. Amen. We don't have much time, so I'm going to get into the sermon. And it's not, don't worry, it's only a page and a half. I purposely cut it down. But I would say this, we don't have time to do it today. What I wanted to do is go around and have people say what they're thankful for. Could you do this as a practical thing? When you go out, if you're going to be eating, whatever table you end up sitting at, could you do this? Leaders, people in this church, do this. Let it be one thing. Everyone has to say one thing they're really thankful for this year. 2017, I want to talk about specific since last time you met in Thanksgiving time. What's one thing that you truly, to the gut of your heart, you're grateful for, you're thankful for? I want that to be said in tables. You can talk about whatever else afterwards. You can talk about the Texans being awful. They're going to lose today. Just getting ready. But I'm sorry, Betty. I don't know if you know yet. Our quarterback's hurt. Here's the team. Watt's hurt. That's it. Okay. But say one thing you're grateful for. You're probably not going to talk about the Texans. So you got, hey, sports are off the table. We're already bad. Hey, the Astros, they won. Never mind. I could have showed a picture of that. But say one thing you're genuinely to the heart core from your family. What are you grateful for? What are you thankful for? And let's fill up that place, that time of eating, with just talking. What is one thing you're really incredibly grateful for? With that said, let's get into our sermon. What a 20-minute shift. All right, here we go. So let's read Philippians. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open it to Philippians 4. Everything's going to be based out of Philippians 4. Philippians 4, I want to read Philippians 4:13, Philippians 4:19, and then I want to talk about the passage that's very commonly used when it comes to contentment and thankfulness, but I want you to see what's sandwiched, what it's sandwiched in between. You really need to see verse 13, you need to see verse 19, and then you can look at verse 11 through 13 and get a bigger picture on what Paul's trying to say. This passage in context is much more helpful than by itself. So Philippians 4, we're going to read Philippians 4:4 first. It's a revisit from last week. Philippians 4:13. Then we're going to read Philippians 4:19. Then I'm going to read Philippians 4:11 through 13, throwing 13 in with a full context. So here we go. Philippians 4:4. It says this: rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You catch that always? Did you say again? Right? Sometimes you don't want to rejoice. Paul says rejoice, and he says, I don't want to rejoice. And he says, let me say it again. Rejoice. That's a command. Rejoice always. And he's going to talk about why should we rejoice. He opens the chapter with rejoice. Why? Philippians 4:13 says, and I already said this, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's not just a verse for going and working out. That's a verse for saying all things. That means cancer. That means I've lost a loved one. That means God's called me to do something I don't want to do, and I might suffer, and I'm going to suffer. And God says all things. It says, all things through my God who strengthens me. Philippians 4:19, he says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Today, we're going to have to learn the difference between need and want. That's the problem, folks. Need and want aren't the same thing. He said, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, here we go. Philippians 4:11 through 13, the famous passage. Not that I am speaking of being in need. Philippians 4:11 through 13. I forgot you don't have your notes in front of you. I'm talking too fast. Philippians 11:13. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation. Say that again. Whatever situation, I am to be content. I have learned. Guys, it's not something he just woke up, was born, and was like, I'm content. He learned. It took a process. It took time for God to teach him. But he's now teaching a lesson to us, and he says, I have learned in whatever situation, back to the all things, he's saying, whatever God might throw at me, whatever the world might throw at me, whatever. In whatever situation, I have learned how to be content. Some people in this room need to learn how to be content today. Well, I need to learn how to be content. We need to learn. What can we learn from Paul? Here's what he says, verse 12. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance. Oh, wow. And all things. in whatever situation, in any and every circumstance. You get the drift? He's saying it consistently three times within a passage, over and over, in anything. And he's learned something. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. You go to whatever spectrum, poor, right? Rich. You go to life is killing me, life is great. Whatever spectrum, he said, whatever the situation, circumstance, whatever, I've learned how to be content. And he goes to verse 13, he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This may be a very simple sermon, but it's not. It's not. It might be, but it's not. We may have heard the word faith before, but it doesn't mean you practice it. Amen? Two things he says specifically in verse 13, I can do all things. That's a faith statement. It's a faith statement. You're facing a life trial. You're facing an issue. You're facing something that maybe you, like a thorn in your side, prayed three times. Maybe you prayed 100 times and God didn't take it away. Well, this man, God didn't take it away. This man got called to Jesus where God said, you will suffer for my name's sake. This is Paul telling us this. He is the authority. Don't listen to Ben Rosenberger. Listen to Paul. Paul is an authority way beyond Ben Rosenberger. And he says, I can do all things. That's a faith statement. And that's with God saying, I'm not going to take away your thorn. That's with God saying, I called you from the get-go and told you how much you're going to suffer for my name's sake. And he makes the statement, I can do all things, not knowing what that might mean. What has his life been so far? It's been shipwreck. It's been suffering. It's been beating. It's been everything that God said was going to happen. And he says to us, church, listen up. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He has faith because, listen, God has given him what he needed. And what he needed wasn't for God to take the thorn away. What he needed was to grow in faith. There is an element, if I say nothing else to you today, contentment comes from genuine faith. Genuine faith. And he says another thing, he says, through him who strengthens me, which is a how statement. How? Because of God who strengthens me. So here's the key to facing anything. Paul has learned to, at all times, good or bad, to trust in God. It is by his faith that he has learned to stay committed. I'll tell you a verse, this is not going to be on the screens behind me. Actually, very little of it is behind me. I was reading just for fun. I love the Bible. It's fun to read. You don't have to turn there with me. I'm going to read you one little verse from Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. Who do you think I might be reading about Daniel in chapter 3? Who might be in Daniel 3? Anyone ever heard of Shadrach? Anyone ever heard of Abednego? You know, I struggle with pronouncing words sometimes. Abednego. It has D before the M, but yet we say Abednego. So Cindy, help me with that. I need help with that. Sandra, teachers in this room, you other teachers, Debbie, retired teachers, Abednego, D-N, why is it Abenda, N-D? I don't get it, I'm confused, okay. Huh? Abednego, okay. Abednego, okay. We're gonna work on this later because this could get really embarrassing. So I don't have to say Abednego. Okay, I've been saying it wrong. Well, hey, what a surprise. I always do this. Okay. So in this passage, I don't want to read the whole thing. He gets thrown into a fiery furnace, chapter 3 of Daniel. And I want to read to you a statement that he says. He gets thrown into a fire and God ends up protecting him. But listen to what they say. It's funny that they say this is a collective team. We're not told it's one. They all said this. Look at what they say. As they're being thrown, as the king is literally threatening him, I'm going to throw you in a fire dungeon and you're going to be destroyed. And look what they say to him. Look what he says. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Some of you have cancer. God is able to heal you. Some of you have issues with your heart and your marriage is falling apart. Or maybe right now you got issues, you got sin, you got strongholds, you got temptations. God can take you out of those. Yes, God can change those things. But let me tell you what he said. Now, some things that are out of our control. Cancer is out of anyone's control, right? Sometimes our marriage problems or sometimes our decisions, our sins, we're in control of that a little bit. We may need help and we're not asking for help. But I'm talking specifically about things that are out of your control. They did not want the king to throw them in the fiery furnace, but they couldn't do anything about it out of their control, right? Someone's passed away. Someone dies. Someone gets hurt. Roy Holiday just died at what, age 40? I mean, incredible pitcher. He's dead. I mean, whoa, surprising. Anything can happen. There's a lot of things outside of our control. And he says this, God can deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Listen to what he says next. It's a deep theology here. Listen to what he says. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But, verse 18, but if not, Be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. What happens to them? Thrown in the fiery furnace? God does come and deliver. It leads to revival. But notice what they said. Notice what they said. But if God chooses not to, I believe he can. I have a hard time sometimes praying for folks because I want to believe and pray for healing, but sometimes I have to say, literally, I don't know if he's going to choose to heal or not. So my real prayer long term, if you ask me how I'm praying for those who are sick in our church, I pray, God, let your will be done, but give my brother and sister the strength of your peace, the strength of your presence, so thick that in the midst of whatever they're going through, your presence is enough. Because you say that. Paul says that. You've done enough, Lord. You are enough. Teach us what it means to be enough in you. That's what I pray. And I pray for your family usually because any suffering, you're not enduring it alone. Your family is. God, be enough. Amplify your presence. Let them want to worship you. They want to go all over here. Their hearts are far from you. Let them dig into you, not run from you, because I know your presence is actually what they need, Lord. Amen? Okay, I'm getting excited. I got to calm down. Calm down. Hey, my boy Lloyd. So I read that, and then I was singing a song yesterday. I was going, and I got an opportunity to go up to the office and pray about this sermon, and I heard a song called Mercy Me. Have you ever heard it? It's called Even If. You read the words? I'm going to read some of these lyrics to you, and it's saying the same thing that all three of those men were saying, same thing Paul is saying, and he's teaching us about contentment. We think we need what we want, but God teaches us you need me. You need my presence. You need faith. That's really what's going to make you content. And look what Mercy Me says. His son has a chronic condition, diabetes. Every time he's eating, he has to get a shot. And so this is a song that in the midst of his battle, in the midst of his darkness, in the midst of the thing, God won't take away it. And no matter how much he's prayed, he bursts this song, and it's on his new album. It's the lead song, and here's what he says. They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now, I'm losing bad. I've stood on this stage night after night, remembering the broken. It'll be all right. But right now, I just can't. Sometimes we come to church, we put our face on, we put our best attitude, but sometimes this is how we feel. And he says, it's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. And then he says, but what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? That sounds a little bit about what Shadrach and Abednego and the other guy, right? He goes, I know you're able, and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. He goes on, I won't read the whole thing. He goes on to the next course, and I'll skip a little bit. He says, a little faith is all I have right now. Good thing that, he says, okay, I'll read the whole thing. He says, it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Good thing, a little faith is all I have right now. Some of you could amen that right now. And he says, but God, when you choose to leave mountains unmoved, give me the strength to be able to sing, it is well with my soul. I ain't got to preach. He already preached. You should have been listening to music this morning. So here's some things. How do you find a depth of contentment? Paul discovers the keys. Number one, gratitude and trust. God truly does provide for us day by day grace, and he provides numerous future graces. You have to have gratitude. You have to have thankfulness. I want to tell you this. You are not going to be a thankful or grateful person if you don't practice daily saying, God, thank you for today. Notice the Lord's Prayer. Let me say this. I'm going to preach on this one. Let me tell you something about Luke's prayer, all their prayers, but the Lord's Prayer. We're supposed to be like, this is the prayer of all prayers, right? Saying, read at every stadium, wherever you go, any team in your home. Here's what he says. Luke 11:3 says, give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. Two things I want you to notice here. Give us our daily bread. Let me tell you something about gratefulness and thankfulness. How often do you take serious what you just prayed in the Lord's Prayer? How often have you had to ask for food? We're not grateful, we're not content, because listen, we don't even have to think about food. So we say the Lord's Prayer, we're mindlessly saying it. How often do we say, Lord, give us our daily bread? Because if I have my needs, the very basic need of food is met, to rejoice. So that's what Jesus is saying. Ask for what God has already given. Here's what happens. We have all our needs. We don't even focus on our needs. We don't have our wants. We're not content. We're not thankful. And yet Jesus' prayer, how to pray every time you approach the Father, say, God, I need this. God has given us lots of great things. We've spent years not ever thanking him for it. Can I just make a statement? That's the truth. Why aren't we grateful? Why aren't we content? Because we don't even pray the way Jesus teaches prayer. We all know the prayer. I bet children that are three know the prayer. No, maybe not three. I'm just learning about the ages of kids, but I don't know what age. But I bet a lot of our children know that prayer. And yet, we got want, and God says, pray for your needs. How often have we forgot to pray for the needs that God's meeting? I may not have everything I want. I may be going through difficult times, but do I have food? Do I have shelter, bare and necessities of life? Do I have water? Do you have an ability to get around? Do you have family? Do you have a relationship, a person in your life, listen, that cares for you, that loves you? If you don't, join a community group, join a Sunday school, get some friends. This is the church. That's what it's supposed to be about. But listen, God has given us all these great things, but we focus so much on the wants. We never thank God for the needs he's already met. And that's in the basics of prayer. And don't miss this. He didn't just say, thank God for my daily bread. He goes on to say, and forgiveness. Forgive me. How often do we actually, because we know we're justified, we know God has died, he's died on the cross, we're saved. How often have we forgot to say, God, forgive me for my sins. My sins today. Not just those two big sins that I struggle with and I've been struggling with for years. I'm talking about all the different sins. How I talk to my wife, how I talk to my staff, or how I talk to people around me. My heart, the heart condition that I don't want anyone to know, but I know. I know what's going on. Anger's a choice, but anger comes out sometimes. That's a sin. Anger is a choice, but it is also a sin. How many areas that you know your heart, how often do you say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. You know, when we start focusing on God is forgiving you daily, all the daily ways we fail, you become a more content and thankful person. You know why? Because you realize how much God died for you before you did a thing. And you're so sinful, and yet God chose you. You don't pray about forgiveness. You don't focus daily on how much you fail. You're not going to be very content or thankful because you're perfect. You start focusing on the real sins, everyday life, you realize, man, I'm not God. I'm not perfect. I'm not everything. That's how you become content. That's how you become thankful. You start looking at God, what have you given me versus the things I want that you may not give me? Focus on the things that he has given you. And listen, here's the maturity Paul is trying to press into us. He's trying to press into us. If you started looking at some things differently and how God is blessing, and he may not take something away, but that doesn't mean, listen, that God hasn't given you grace day by day. It doesn't mean God doesn't have future grace. And listen, when you start acknowledging and realizing God is giving you grace daily, weekly, monthly, you start trusting, I may not have this taken away. You may not take this problem from me, but I know you'll be there. If you don't get grateful now, if you don't get grateful for the grace of God day by day, for his forgiveness day by day, and how he still chose you when you're messed up, right? You won't be grateful and content with the fact that God literally is saying, he's literally saying this, we know death is coming. We know hardship is coming. Like that, we know that there's gonna be some things that aren't gonna be removed because everyone in this room is dying. Every one of us. We know this already. The Bible doesn't hide it. He doesn't lie to us. But how do we become more content and thankful so that when we have that all things that Paul's really talking about, not the I can do all things, Jim, I'm talking the I can endure cancer, I can endure my family dying, I can endure God maybe taking my child from my life. How can you endure that? Well, you start learning to be grateful and content day by day. It changes your attitude. It changes your mind. It changes the way you think. You start being more grateful. Amen? So gratefulness and attitude. Say, why are we doing this, Pastor? Why didn't you just preach? Because I want to practice this, and I want you to go in there, and when you're eating, practice it. Say something you're thankful for. Think something that you genuinely, from your gut to your heart, this is what this year, thank you for. We could all get around and gripe and bellyache and be like the children in the wilderness and complain, but there's a lot of good in our life. There's a lot that God's doing. Focus there, and God will show you how to endure all things, how to be brought low or to abound in both places. You can praise God the same. So I want to say that gratitude and trust, we got to change our mentality. We got to focus on even the Lord's prayer, giving thanks for what he's already given, the needs that are met, and asking God for forgiveness, realizing how sinful we are, and yet God still died, and thus becoming a more gracious person, grateful for the grace that God's given us. We need to be more grateful and trusting and thankful. Now, the key to contentment, be grateful, trust God once again, that he's gonna provide. But make a practice of thanking him for what he is already doing. Number two, and I'm almost done. Number two, belief/faith. You know, in Greek, belief and faith and trust are the same word. I don't know if you know that, just so you know. Belief and faith are the same word. And being able to truly endure. Belief and faith and being able to truly endure. As I've already said multiple times, Paul meant all things. But let's think about that a little differently. Thinking wants and needs aren't the same thing. You've got to practice the thinking of what is a want and what is a need. What are things that can wait in time and what is, and that's why, I don't mean to step on toes, but that's why we're so in debt. We have no ability to see the difference between want and need, and some things you can't pay for, so you can't buy. But we buy, and then we get in credit, then we have stress, then we get out of our mind because we had to have all these wants that we didn't really need. Make sense? We've got to stay within a boundary of what we have, but we get out crazy because we have all these wants. We've got to learn how to look at the difference between wants and needs. I encourage you as a family to sit down and acknowledge what are wants and what are needs. Practice that as a family. Be a family that has a budget. Can I be honest? You don't have to go through Dave Ramsey, but you should have a budget of some sort. That would save so much marital fighting. That would save so much in your mentality of the difference between need and want. If you just had a budget, right? What extra can we spend? Well, what can we put that towards? Make a decision and wait versus just doing it. Want and needs are totally different. So we have to understand that, because if we don't understand the difference between wants and needs, we're not going to be able to trust God fully to endure. Secondly, letting sin such as covetedness, which stems from discontentment, get strong footholds or strongholds in our lives. So the Bible teaches in Hebrews 13:5, it says this, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. Notice that? Content for what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Notice what he says there. He says, how do you stay content? He says, trusting that even being content with what you have and trusting that God is never going to forsake you. No matter what you think you need, no matter what that situation, even if you're not going to get that want, God says, how you get content, he says, trust that I will never leave you or forsake you. Right where you are with what you, be content with what you have. Be content. It's a command. And trust that God will never leave you or forsake you. No matter what your situation is, God's there. He's with you. He's not going anywhere. Does that make sense? He says, that makes you content. He says, how do you fight covetedness? You be content with the Lord's never abandoned me. He's never going to abandon me. And just know that. Believe that. How can you endure all things? You know the Lord will never abandon you. You start praying. Listen, you start praying more heavily for the presence of God in the midst of whatever you're going through. And that's how he fights discontentment. And thirdly, the final thing I'll say on this point is Paul, like many in the Bible, as I've already read, accepted and assumed hard things, thus rightly concluded that in the good or in the hard times inevitably coming, God will be enough, and believe that with great faith, he genuinely could do and endure all things. So what is the key to contentment? What is the key to suffering? It is not losing faith. It's not losing faith. So today, I'm really finishing our sermon here. It's a mentality. Contentment and thankfulness is a mentality. It's a day by day. It's a practice. If you feel very discontent, if you feel very far from God, if you don't feel very thankful, I'm begging with you, you're not going to get contentment by some secret message I preach. You're going to get contentment when you start focusing on what are the day by day graces God's already given you. What is the forgiveness that you know God's already given you? How do you start changing your mentality and start applying that to your day-by-day routine? So maybe when you go to bed, add a routine to your life, start praying and saying, God, let me reflect on my day and let me look at some of the sins. That will make you a much more repentant person if you do that and look at your life and realize, man, I've messed up, God. I don't know about you, whether you have a routine every day or maybe once a week or a couple times a week, you get some real time with God. Start making part of your time with God, not just saying, God, I need this, I want this. Start with God, thank you. Thank you for all these things you've given me. Thank you for all the needs versus wants, all the needs you have taken care of. Thank you that my family, many people in this world that are starving, have no shelter, have no medical care, have no ability to have a car or get a job, you are different because God has provided. You don't have everything you want, but you do have. Most of us in this room, if not all, have what we need. And even if you needed food, we have a food pantry for a reason. Most people don't go to it because they don't need it. God says to us, he says, start your prayer with thank you for giving me my need. You can be the person who never thanks God, or you can be the person that does what Jesus said, God, give me what I need. Maybe we need to start praying, God, give me what I need. And maybe what you need might be in all things that's coming, because God wants you to focus on him, not on the situations necessarily. You need more of God more than you need God to take away some of the things in your life. You do need him to change your heart. You do need him to get a hold of worship and change your being. But you can endure all things. Paul says, I can endure all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then I'm just reminded of Hebrews 13:5, where God says, how do you deal with covetousness? He says, you just trust that God will never forsake you. Do you know that today? God, no matter what you've done sin-wise, no matter what struggle, all things you're going through, God is never going to forsake you. He never will. Our ending is an eternity forever, and it may take hundreds of years for God to fully get us content with life, whatever's gone on in our life, but we have millions of years for God to take care of that. We're not here. Paul would say we're aliens. I'm not sure, but I'm sure as he endured more and more and more suffering, he knew all the more, this is not my life. I can't focus so much on this life. I know where I'm going, and I know it's not here. We're not meant to be on earth for a long time. Our home is in heaven, and that's where a lot of right gets wronged. There's some things we're struggling with, but we can learn to be grateful for the grace that God gives us day by day. So today, we're going to go eat. Lots of hands have put this meal together. If you're that person that's sitting here saying, oh, I didn't bring something, go. Don't be a guilt grabber. We brought lots of food. It's probably going to be left over, so don't leave. Don't leave. If you're like, I didn't know, I didn't bring something, who cares? No one knows. I didn't write my name on the potatoes I made all last night. And let me tell you, you're going to know it's me. Why do I say this stuff? You're going to know it's me because when I was grinding pepper, one of those, well, not one, lots of grounds went into it, and I scooped it all out. But there's a chance. There's a hidden one somewhere in there. So if you're that lucky ticket winner, just so you know, that's how you know who made my mashed potatoes. So I'm not going to tell you anything else. You don't know whose it is. It looks so. I think I got it all out, but I might have not. I don't know. So I've been asked to pray, but today is a practice of gratefulness, and we are going to have our tithing after I pray. So those who are helping with the tithe, would you come forward? Let me. Oh. We'll just abandon. I just went off key.
So Ben's talking about thankfulness, and it brought a story to mind about, I don't know if you know who George Mueller is. He was a popular evangelist back in like the 1830s, and he also was in charge of a orphanage. And there was many times in this orphanage that he ran that they didn't know where their next meal was going to come from or anything like that, and they didn't like ask people for donations. He just completely trusted God to fulfill the needs and stuff like that. And there's this one time where they didn't know how they were going to feed the kids, but they all sat down at the dinner table and they're sitting there, and he just prays, God, thank you for what you've provided for us. Thank you for, you know, the food that we have on our plates, even though they didn't really have food on their plates. And right after he gets done, there was a knock on the door. He goes and opens it. You're welcome. He goes and opens the door, and it was the bread. It was the bread maker. And the bread maker goes, "Hey, for some reason, I made more bread than I needed to sell for the day. So here you go. Here's this bread." He closes the door. A little while later, opens the door, it's the milkman. Milkman's like, hey, for some reason, I have more milk. The cart broke down, that's what it was. Cart broke down, hey, my cart broke down, and I don't have any way to move this milk. If I don't move it, I don't get it, it's gonna spoil. So I wanna give this milk to you. So sometimes, you know, and this is even in our own lives, like for me and Abigail coming here, like we had to go, hey, God, we thank you for providing this opportunity for us, and we know that you're going to provide a house for us, and he did. So sometimes we have to say thank you before we even get what he wants to give us. You know, I think that's why God works. He tests us. He goes, you know what? I'm going to hold this back from you just because I want to see where your heart is. And if you really have a heart of thankfulness, and so I don't know, it's just something that popped up in my head, and I was like, man, you know, and I just wanted to share it. So
I forgot about the last song. We got so much going on today. Sorry. Thank you. That was good. So we ask that you would give abundantly. Lord, Lord has given us all great things. He's provided for us. So we ask that you'd give back to God. This time is not giving to the pastor. It's giving to the church. It's giving to God, and it's giving back of what God has given us. So let's pray. Father, thank you for providing for us, every one of us in this room. Lord, we have lots of wants, but God, we have a lot of needs that you have met and are meeting. And God, as we stand here clothed and have shelter, Lord, I just thank you. Lord, today as we, as a church, reflect on a whole year of ministry, a whole year of things and bringing staff together and all the things that you let this church be a part of, Lord, I just thank you. We thank you. So let us today as we go and we eat, let us just have the kind of hearts that you would want us to have, Lord, hearts of gratitude and thankfulness. And let us share with one another about how you have blessed our hearts and blessed our lives. And thank you for all that you're doing. Let us take these offerings and use it for your glory, for your kingdom, because God, we just want to see Bayshore be a light in our community. We love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.